Welcome to the Cross Currents Radio Show, your spiritual speaker's corner, broadcast, and podcast. Does your faith in the past affect your fate in the future? Does your belief about what happened in history in any way inform the reality of what will happen to you today and tomorrow? Special creation or accidental evolution? Does it really matter? These are the age-old questions we're asking and answering in this series of TCC Radio. We'll first be in the studio with Calvin Smith, an expert on the creation-evolution controversy. And then, as always, we'll take the conversation to the street, this time to hear what average, everyday Canadians have to say about the controversial topic of God's creation history. Finally, we'll start and finish by submitting our thoughts to the Lordship of Christ as we teach and preach Him alone as the sovereign Creator and King of all. And now, let's join TCC Radio host Corey McKenna in the studio.
Hello again, I'm Corey McKenna. Welcome to the Cross Current Radio Show and part two of our special series called Going Back to the Future on this subject of biblical authority and history. In the studio with me again is my good friend and ministry partner, Calvin Smith. Cal is an experienced speaker with Creation Ministries International and also serves as co-host of CMI's TV show, Creation Magazine Live, which can be watched free online at creation.com and on the Miracle Channel. Welcome back, Cal.
Good to be here.
Now, last time in part one, we talked about origins, God's creation, and how we got here in the first place. And Cal, you brought us into the big picture and helped us better understand biblically that history does matter. Because our belief about where we've come from, either special creation or cosmic accident, ultimately determines our belief about where we're going when we die. And this time in part two, we'll be talking about biblical biology, how all the varieties of animals and plants came to be on the earth, and again, why the truth of this history really matters. Cal, you've got the mic, so first, why don't you sort of set the table by educating us on this subject scientifically? How does that look?
Well, let's contrast what creationists would believe versus what evolution would teach. People are quite familiar with the theory of evolution. They've seen it on TV shows and been taught it in schools. And so here's the general theory of evolution defined by the evolutionist Kirkwood. It's the theory that all the living forms in the world have arisen from a single source, which itself came from an inorganic form. Now, anybody who's taken a course in evolutionary biology would be familiar with the famous evolutionary tree of life, which is exactly what Kirkut just explained. They believe that there was no life on the planet at one time. Then we had first life, and that first life diversified and became every living thing that's ever been. Now, the creationists, of course, would not believe that. We'd believe what the Bible says, that God created separate kinds of creatures, so that there would be a multitude of creations, different kinds of creatures. And the Bible says that those kinds reproduce after their own kind. It doesn't say that there won't be variation within the kind. So, you know, you're going to have all sorts of different types of cats or dogs or people or whatever. There's going to be variation, but separate kinds. We didn't all stem from one tree. Now, if you look at what the evolutionist is teaching, think of it this way. The kind of change that they need to demonstrate is this kind of change. If you started with this first living organism, whatever that would be, evolutionists would say it must be quite simple because it came about by chance. Now, every living thing on the planet has a coded language system inside it called DNA. Now, this DNA, scientists call it the language of life, and that's kind of like the library of information that codes for whatever creature you're talking about. If this first living thing came into being by chance, it would have a very small library of information. But if it was to, let's say, evolve into something like a horse over millions and millions of years, what would you have to do to the library of information of, let's say, an amoeba or something like that to turn it into a horse? Well, you'd have to add billions and billions and billions of new chemical letters for DNA, right? Because horses, they've got things like skin, and they've got muscle, and they've got blood, and they've got blood clotting systems, and they've got eyes, all of these things that this first living thing wouldn't have had. So really, what an evolutionist needs to explain is where did all the brand new biological information that was never in existence before for new forms, functions, and features that weren't there before, where did all this biological information come from in a naturalistic, materialistic sense? Where did the information come from?
And Cal, our more perceptive listeners are probably asking the question, where did any information come from in the first place? I mean, you're talking, and really does presuppose, is how did we get new genetic information added into the genome? But it does beg the question, wait a second. The Bible accounts for this very clearly, that God, who is eternal, he spoke ex nihilo out of nothing, and we have an answer for that question. And how do you perceive that objection?
Yeah, well, actually, I was out last night with some street teams. We were evangelizing, and I posed this question to a skeptic. And, you know, really, when you think of DNA, it is a coded language system. There's four chemical letters. Those four chemical letters are arranged in three-letter words called codons, and those words spell out all the genetic information for whatever genome you're talking about. And I asked the fellow, where does, coded language system come from? I said, look, if you're walking along the beach and you look down in the sand and, you know, scrawled in the sand, it says, Johnny loves Susie. Where do you think that came from? You know, would it be logical to sit there and go, hey, look what the wind and the tide brought in? That wouldn't be a logical deduction from what you know, because sand, matter, does not contain information. Once it's arranged in a certain way by an intelligent mind, then it contains information. If I walked up to a chalkboard and wrote, hi, my name's Cal on the chalkboard, where did the information come from? I mean, if I wipe off the chalk and I'm just, you know, got the chalk on my hand, is there any information in chalk? Absolutely not. So it's always been observed that coded information has only ever been observed to come from an intelligent mind. So if you want to believe that matter can somehow create coded language without the aid of an intelligent mind, you totally believe that on faith. You have no observable, repeatable experiment that shows that. And so it's a faith system. So the Christian is in a much stronger position to say, look, you know, this supports what we already believe, that the God of the Bible, of course, created. It's the most sophisticated language system we've ever seen. It must have come from the most sophisticated mind we can imagine.
Well, let's stop right there, because we took this subject of biblical biology to the streets. And as you can probably imagine, not everyone we spoke with believed the history of Scripture. Check it out.
In the studio and on the street with the Cross Current Radio Show.
Okay, this is Eric with TCC Radio, and today we're here with Liam, and we're talking about biology. Okay, so Liam, do you know much about biology?
Only what I was taught in high school, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is a spiritual speaker's corner. That's kind of the theme of this show, so I'm just going to ask you some questions. And it'll go along the lines of these biology questions, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the Bible and stuff like that, all right? And get some opinions from you and stuff. Okay, so in school, what were you taught about how all the varieties of animals and plants came to be on Earth?
From what I remember, it was a bunch of goo turned into one thing, evolved into other things, and from that they sort of mixed and bred up, creating different animals, different plant species.
Do you remember the term natural selection from your...
I do. It was basically how the stupid people die because they do stupid things.
Okay. close, yeah. Do you think Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection makes sense scientifically?
I have to say, I haven't researched it as much as I probably should, but from what I've heard, it does make sense to me.
Okay, so... Liam, do you have a specific religion or worldview that you hold?
I'm going to say honestly, atheism. I'm not one of those dead set, you know, really idiot atheists that just like to point out everything faulty with religion, though. It's just more so the way I like to look at things.
Okay. Have you ever heard the Christian response to the questions about afterlife?
Honestly, no.
No, did you ever go to church as a kid or anything like that? Have any family that was religious or anything?
Honestly, only at Christmas, Easter.
Can I just share with you real quick what that is? So, based on your answer to question one, which was, do you think Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection makes sense scientifically? You said yes. Based on the answer to that question, What do you think happens when you die?
Nothing. You're either cremated or you're buried, and that's
just a dirt nap.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. Does what you believe about natural selection and evolution affect what you think about what will happen when you die?
No, I don't think that specifically does. It's almost a separate thing that just seems to go parallel to it.
Okay, what do you believe about the Bible?
I think I do believe that it does have good teachings. It does help a lot of people, be it people that are drug users, or if they're committed serious crimes, people that turn their life around because of the Bible, because of Christianity. I think that is a good thing. And whether or not it's true, I've always held the belief that if that's what's helping people, I'm not going to say that's stupid.
Okay, so how does what you believe about natural selection and evolution affect what you believe about the Bible, or does it?
I honestly haven't really studied the Bible all that much to really give a good answer to that question, I think.
All right, well, this is Corey. We're here with TCC Radio, and I'm speaking with...
Juggin.
And?
Geetha.
Juggin and Geetha. So we're talking today about... biology. So in school, which you're still in now, what were you taught about how all the varieties of animals and plants came to be on the earth?
Pretty much strictly through evolution is how I was taught.
Through evolution, okay, Geetha?
Same thing.
Same thing. Okay, is that the only option you were given? No other options?
No, I didn't go to a faith-based school at all, so that was the only option taught to me.
I think other options are things I'm informed about, but not necessarily things I'm well-educated about.
Do you remember the term natural selection?
Very much so, yes.
Yeah, we're talking.
You said like that you studied that yesterday. You were okay. Wow. Do you think Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection makes sense scientifically? And maybe what's your understanding of what that theory is?
So with natural selection, you're really talking about survival of the fittest and traits that enable an individual species to survive, to continue on and spawn the generations that we see today. I think it makes sense, kind of looking at the evidence they present, fossil records, things like that. The one question people still have of it today is that it's not really tangible in what you see around you. It's hard to see evolution progressing within a generation. You don't see it within a generation. So that's why people tend to struggle with it today. But just based on the evidence that's been presented to me, I think there's certainly a lot of substance to it.
So, Geetha, do you believe that the theory of evolution by natural selection makes sense scientifically?
I do. I do think it makes sense scientifically, but it's also something that we've been taught a lot. I think another big question is kind of like how it began and how it all started and where did the fossils come from in the first place? And that's a big question. But from what we have been taught, I think everything to this point makes sense for me.
So if we weren't there to see it when it happened in the beginning, do you think that's more science or faith?
I still think there's a lot of science to it. As I said, you know, we have some evidence, you know, via fossil record that kind of indicates evolution and natural selection might be happening. Even based on Darwin's findings himself, you know, he went to an island and kind of saw how particular species of finches had developed, and you know, they had kind of developed traits in order to suit their surroundings, and it's this concept of, you know, selective pressures within the environment shaping the way a species is able to survive and thrive.
What did the finches become?
So basically, depending on what they had to eat, I think it was types of seeds, they developed either short or long beaks.
Were they still finches, though?
They were still finches, yes.
So based on this idea of natural selection and things changing over time, the next question is, what do you think happens when you die?
I believe it's nothing. I believe, you know, you're created and you die, and then that's it. There isn't really anything to ponder about. I really think, you know, you just terminate.
You think it's an important question?
I think as you get older, when I'm as young as I am, I don't really think about it too much.
What day are you going to die? And what do you think? What do you think happens when you die?
I'd like to think that there is something more than just a termination. I think that's more so just a part of me was very religious at one point in my life. And I think I still hold a sort of spiritual basis to the way I live my life. And I think I'd like to believe that there is something greater than just us laying on the ground. And I think that brings peace to me as I continue to live my life today.
Do you think what you believe about natural selection and evolution affect what you think about what will happen to you when you die?
No.
Same. No.
Will you be with God in heaven? The Bible says that the price of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So how many times have you sinned? How many times have you lied, lusted, stolen, hated, and used God's name in vain? Because every time you have, you've sinned against holy God, alienating yourself from Him. Even your thinking is against Him. You will face the second death, which is eternity in the lake of fire. But Jesus Christ paid for sins, taking them and God's wrath against sinners upon Himself. He shed His blood and died on the cross in place of sinners, and then He rose from the grave, defeating sin and death, just as the Scriptures foretold that He would. To be reconciled to God, you must repent and trust that Jesus died for your sins. Your sins will be forgiven, God will grant you eternal life, and you will spend forever with God in heaven. Isn't that good news?
Hi, this is Corey McKenna, president of The Cross Current, and you're invited to my online personal witness workshop. For just $19, you can tap into my 10-plus years of hit-and-miss experience to learn the basics of biblical evangelism. In just 1 hour, I'll teach you disarming and winsome ways you can open Scripture with your non-Christian family and friends, and simple field-tested techniques to relationally sow the seed of God's Word in their hearts. To join me from the comfort of your own computer, register at GoShareChrist.com. That's GoShareChrist.com. Let's get better equipped to go share Christ together.
Canada needs Christ. Praise God for overseas missions, but with the nations now among us, will you give for more to go locally, right here at home? After equipping churches all across Canada to share Christ together for Canada 150, The Cross Current is further expanding our evangelism and equipping ministry across the airwaves and the web. In addition to hearing TCC Radio, Christians will be equipped through our webinars and online workshops to share Christ with their own family, friends, and neighbors. Imagine the impact your gifts will make for all of us sharing Christ in Canada together. To give, go to thecrosscurrent.com/give or call toll-free 1-888-96-CROSS. That's 1-888-962-7677. We thank God for you and your partnership in His gospel.
Hi, this is Ravi Zacharias, and you're listening to the Cross Current Radio Show.
Welcome back to the studio of TCC Radio. With me is Calvin Smith, speaker with Creation Ministries International and co-host of CMI's TV show Creation Magazine Live. Okay, Cal, here we go again. You and I would both agree that everyone who, in faith, simply confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead will be saved. That's the testimony of Scripture, and that includes evolutionists. So why does it really matter if I believe in evolution or not? Like, chill out a little bit here. What's your response there?
Well, Christians that come to believe in evolution, of course, we touched on this in the first episode last week. What you're doing is, in a sense, I would say you're misrepresenting who God is. Because evolution is a process, supposedly, that took place over millions and billions of years. You have to add those millions and billions of years to the week of creation. You can't do it after Adam and Eve come on the scene. So really, you're representing God as a God who used billions of years of death, suffering, pain, agony, bloodshed, cancer we find in the fossil record, all of these things to create. And then you're saying that God said everything was very good after his creation. And so I would say this really maligns the character of God. That's not how he reveals himself in the Bible. He says he created everything perfect in the beginning. Sin and death are the result of Adam's sin, and the fall occurred after that. And so, you know, let me give you a quote from atheist Frank Zindler, taken from a debate where he's debating the existence of God with a Christian. And the atheist said, "The most devastating thing that biology did to Christianity was the discovery of biological evolution. Now that we know that Adam and Eve never were real people, the central myth of Christianity is destroyed. If there never was an Adam and Eve, there never was an original sin. If there never was an original sin, then there's no need of salvation. And if there's no need of salvation, then there's no need of a Savior. And I submit that puts Jesus, historical or otherwise, into the ranks of the unemployed. So the Christian can say, well, look, this really doesn't matter. You know, let's chill out. Why does it matter? Well, look at this man. He's thought this through logically. If you get rid of original sin, then you don't need a Savior. And when we're proclaiming Christ to people, what does it really mean? And of course, many people say, well, you know, we can just believe that, Genesis, Adam and Eve, that's just symbolic. But atheists have an answer for you there. The most popular atheist on the planet today, of course, is Richard Dawkins. And he said in a BBC broadcast, oh, but of course the story of Adam and Eve was only symbolic, wasn't it? Symbolic. Jesus had himself tortured and executed for a symbolic sin by a non-existent individual. Nobody not brought up in the faith could reach any verdict other than barking mad. So the Christian really doesn't do well when they're adopting evolution into their worldview when you come up against an informed skeptic.
So true, Cal. And as someone who equips Christians, we are an equipping ministry to equip Christians for more bold and faithful proclamation of Jesus Christ and to advance and to defend his gospel. We find that it's really all about consistency. The Bible says a faithful witness does not lie. So any Christians listening right now got to be, hopefully this is coming to bear on how you think, how you talk, how you live, because we are called to be consistent. See, when we, Cal used the word misrepresent God, really what that means is God has called us to imitate him accurately, be imitators of God in Christ. And when we fail to imitate God accurately, we lie about who God is. And this is what's so shocking to me, Cal, as you're sharing this, is what really sort of hit my gray matter as you were describing that problem is that if there is, in fact, death before sin, then that makes death God's problem. Because we were not the ones who had a part to play in that at all. And we look at cosmic accountability. What does that do to God's holiness, to God's character, to God's nature, to God's perfection? I mean, speak to that a little bit, because as we share the gospel, we are pressing people biblically on the problem of sin and how all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So maybe you could share a little bit about what you think of that.
Well, again, I would believe that it's misrepresentation of who God is, and it goes even beyond what you're saying here. So, you know, you preface saying, can a Christian believe in evolution? Well, absolutely, and be saved. We totally believe that because, you know, I'm sure we all carry around false, information in our minds, but we can still be saved. I mean, if we had to think perfectly to be saved, we'd all be in a little bit of trouble. But I just want to, let's go to the extreme end of this when you accept evolution, et cetera, and you really go through the narrative. You know, there's actually Christian ministries out there that are trying to teach people to accept evolution. For example, BioLogos in the United States, you can go to their website. Their whole mandate is to teach Christians to accept evolution. Now, the end result is, of course, that when you look at the New Testament, Jesus believed in a young earth. He believed in a global flood. He believed in Adam and Eve. When you read the writings of Paul, he confirms what the scripture says, that there was one man in the beginning. From one man, he made every nation of men. And all these things. But of course, BioLogos, following the evolutionary trajectory, believed that there was no Adam and Eve, that they were just symbolic, etc. And the end result is quotes like this from so-called Christian ministries. Quote, if Jesus, as a finite human being, erred from time to time, then there's no reason at all to suppose that Moses, Paul, John, etc. wrote scripture without error. Rather, we are wise to assume that the biblical authors express themselves as human beings writing from the perspectives of their own finite, broken horizons. Now, here's a supposed Christian ministry that's actually teaching that Jesus erred in what he said and believed in certain areas, typically origins, and so did Paul, and so did some of the other New Testament writers. That's the as far as the pendulum could swing, I would say, because in my mind, that's actually heresy to say that God, Jesus, actually erred, and that what God wrote in his word and what Christians have believed for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years was actually wrong, that God did not specially create everything, that he used the process of evolution. So if you're telling me that God, basically lied, then I think that's a serious complication to your theology.
Absolutely, Cal. I mean, we know that Christ, scripture says, was a sacrifice without blemish. He was perfect. perfect as your Heavenly Father's perfect, Jesus said, Matthew 5:48. You can take the book of Hebrews and flush it because it's meaningless if Christ lied, if he deceived. Wow, so much to think about. Well, we're just about out of time for this episode, Cal, but before we sign off, can you again give us a sneak peek of where we're headed together in part three of this series? Because this is going to be great.
Well, part three, we're going to get into the whole age of the earth topic, and I'll tell you something. This topic of age of the earth is actually a bigger deal for Christians than the topic of evolution. Many Christians would say, well, you know, we believe that God, you know, specially created maybe 6,000 years ago, but before there's a prehistory that you can believe in millions and billions of years. You can believe that God used the Big Bang. You know, the rock layers we see all over the earth are the process of millions of years of sedimentation, long periods of time, etc. That does not in impinge any way on the character of God or how we understand theology or anything like that. So this is actually a big deal. Of course, the creationist perspective is that we take the Bible as plainly written. There was a global flood. And so we would say that is where the rock layers come from. Is that a better explanation? We're going to basically dig through that.
And just to say yes and amen to what Cal just said, we've found, as an equipping ministry Christian, hear this, that the more frequently and more faithfully that you share the gospel, the more conservative you become in these key issues of age of the earth, of creation evolution. So that's a bit of food for thought. Well, thanks again for being with us, Cal. If you missed the promo earlier in the program, Cal's a speaker with Creation Ministries International, and he's also co-host of CMI's TV show, Creation Magazine Live. You can look into Cal's speaking schedule and watch the show free online at creation.com and on the Miracle Channel. And thanks to you for tuning into our program. Please visit us online at tccradio.com, where you can access our podcast and also hear several more street interviews with average, everyday Canadians on the topic of biblical biology. Until next time, I'm Corey McKenna, in the studio and on the street, keeping the cross current in our culture.
Cross Current and TCC Radio are praying for the Lord to align us with a like-minded partner church to continue this outreach radio broadcast in your area. Could that be your church? In addition to equipping you by example to share the gospel, TCC can help your local church gain maximum ministry exposure with both Christians and non-Christians in your community through promoting your church right here on TCC Radio. To explore the possibility of becoming a partner church, please email us at partners@tccradio.com.